WGR Sports Radio 550 presents.
By the way, you got to work on your Stallone. We need a lower register.
Sports Talk Saturday.
That was an incredible Stallone. I've been doing that since I was a kid. You can't touch it.
There's food in your mouth.
There's food in your mouth.
Adrian. On WGR.
That's disgusting.
Sports Radio 550.
Welcome into a Sports Talk Saturday, Derek Kramer, and just for a brief moment, Joe Cali here with you. And we've got a nice guest lineup for you this weekend. Evan's on the board. It's 11:03. Let's get rolling here, baby.
Let's get rolling. Yeah, I'm here for a brief moment.
You're here for just a sec.
I'm a figment of the imagination.
Yeah, like, was he ever here? There's no war in Ba Sing Se. Like, this is pretty much what this is here today.
Yes, this is just a, you know, a brief appearance, a cameo.
A cameo, yes. This is the Joe Cali cameo to start the show.
Yes, because the UB Bulls are taking on... Good question. Because I don't know who they're playing.
Nice.
Did you not hear my update? You know, they're playing UMass.
I have to go
so
produce that game.
So much better that he just said it.
Oh, did he? Sorry.
Can't hear you're him. Working that game.
Yeah. Well, you know...
Oh boy, the band just got blown off the rails to start.
We're training some newbies, so hopefully these Saturdays will free up, and I'll be more than a cameo in a couple weeks.
Yeah,
so.
You know, it's supposed to be you're here with me for this, but you know, I guess I'll go in alone here today for the most part, but not truly alone. Josh Reed will join us at 11:30. Brayton Wilson, he was at the Prospects Challenge yesterday. And I know this because I went to the Prospects Challenge yesterday, and I went and bothered him when he wasn't working.
No, you bothered him while he was working.
I did a little bit of that too, actually. but made sure it was when he was not talking. And then, of course, Greg Thompson, Cover One, joining us at 1 o'clock as well. So fitting. 1 o'clock, Cover One, blah, blah, blah. But it's a nice little weekend. You know, Bills doing their thing on Thursday night. Now everyone gets to chill for a week plus, find out big news that Terrell Bernard may be out for a month, but it's not longer, like season ending.
It's not a Daquan Jones injury from last year, which is what you're happy about, especially being a captain, being a leading man. I mean, that's a big loss if that was the case.
Exactly. So. And the biggest thing for me is we're kind of getting back into the real feel of things with fall in and of itself. Why? There was some sort of hockey yesterday.
There was. I'm itching to watch a Sabres game again. I'm not going to lie.
I'll tell you how much I was itching. I went there yesterday as a fan.
Right.
Went and bought the ticket. Didn't care.
How much did that run you? If you don't mind me asking.
I think it was $11.80 with like a $10 ticket and like $1.80 surcharge or whatever.
Oh, to watch fun hockey in September. Come on.
To watch a game in September over at Harbor Center. It was relatively packed.
Yeah.
So it was a good showing. There are also families and scouts of six teams that are there at Harbor Center. So it's going to fill up a little bit more than you would like to think, with people that aren't Sabres fans, but it was a nice, encouraging showing there. Jiří Kulík looks like he doesn't need these anymore.
Ryan, also news from the Sabres, tonight's prospect game against the Devils is sold out.
There you go. If you wanted to go, you can't.
Tickets are still available for Monday's game though.
There you go. Good job, Evan. So if you wanted to go to today's game, you can't. Those are sold out, as Evan just said. But Monday, you want to try to creep a game?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good time of year. When hockey starts rolling around and football's around, I know the 65-degree and sunny weather is coming around the corner, and I cannot be happier for it.
Exactly.
Just walking through downtown Buffalo to KeyBank
Center.
It's
more or less it's the feel of having both of them back again, the real fall begins once again.
Yeah, you're down by Canal Side. You see the river of Sabres jerseys moving towards the arena. Like,
and it's not about the team themselves. Let's be real about this. They have the longest playoff drought in NHL history, and if not for the New York Jets, they'd have the longest playoff drought of all the major four sports teams. It's not necessarily about how the team's performance is. It's about the feel, the feel of having both sports back, and the feel of fall really being back to us.
Yeah,
and
elite season.
Look. I am to a fault. I'm a guy that loves hockey. I love puck. I love talking about it, even if there's an excuse to do it. And that's why Brayton's joining us today. And I don't want this to sound like demeaning it any sort of direction that we take as a station, but I really do feel like we do too much Bills too much, like too much all the time. And that's probably why I shoehorn in the Sabres as bad as they've been as often as I can.
Do you think that'll change as the team improves?
If the team actually does show, let alone if they make the playoffs,
yeah,
it will change.
Mm-hmm.
The problem has been they're in the longest playoff drought of NHL history.
Yeah.
In a league where half the teams make it in every year.
You actively kind of have to try not to make it in.
It's actually a statistical wonder at this point how they haven't done it. And their closest season that they didn't make it 2 years ago, or two seasons ago,
They were 1 point out, right?
They were 1 point out.
Yeah. They're beating the odds in the bad way. That's
to
what's
the
happening.
Eventual Eastern Conference champions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That took that final seed.
Even last year, do you remember that excitement going towards the end of the season? Unreal. Like thinking that they're within 5 points and like
they were able to crawl in. Despite everything, despite their win-loss. They could never put a streak together.
No.
And yet they were still in it at the end of the, like closer to the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Which was astounding. It was more about the league in itself than it was about them.
Right, yeah.
Because they were part of the mess. But they were still in the mess.
Mm-hmm.
Which allows you some degree of hope. I know the Sabres are a hopeless enterprise, but, you know, at the very least, it's something different. I don't know. Because back on Thursday, Bills win, everything like that. And I said something that I kind of said tongue-in-cheek, but I actually mean it in a sense, in a positive sense. Same old Bills.
Yeah.
Same old Bills. What do you mean by that? Same old Bills being a good thing is, well, ho-hum, they win games in different ways. And
in explosive fashion.
Telling a team that they are not ready yet.
Mm-hmm. Basically saying the AFC East is ours until it's not. That's
until
what they
proven
said
otherwise,
yeah.
The division's ours. Yep. And that's same old Bills. There's only one problem with same old Bills. Same old Bills also has the same catastrophic ending.
Yes. Yeah.
But on the positive spin of it, double-digit win seasons, division title.
Yeah. There are a ton of positives.
There's where same old Bills is a good thing. And
be same old Bills in the regular season, not the postseason.
So what I say about this is, with the Bills doing their usual thing, and the Sabres hopefully not doing their usual thing, please God, no, it makes you wonder. It makes you wonder, what can this town really be like again with both of them actually doing their thing? Because that's something I don't think any of us have truly experienced in a very long time. I wasn't even a proper sports fan when this was happening.
I was 5 years old the last time the Sabres were decent.
The Sabres alone.
Yeah.
And when the Sabres were decent, the Bills were in a playoff drought.
Yes, exactly. And for my entire growing up fandom.
Even I don't know what that feels like.
Yeah.
Because, what, the 90s?
Right.
That was the last time both teams were good.
Really? Yeah, at the same time, yes.
At the same time.
Mm-hmm. This could be the second coming of that, depending on how the Sabres season goes. But.
And with this day and age of like social media and sports and everything like that, what if the Sabres are at least playoff good? I want to feel like what it is around here with the Bills being the Bills and doing their thing, and the Sabres finally waking up.
Be proud to be a Sabres fan. Not that you're not already.
Yeah.
But
like I'm talking about them on September 14th.
Exactly. But
one day after a prospects game.
You know, like you wear a Sabres jersey in an opposing city and you get trashed a little bit.
And that game has nothing to do with how I'm feeling today.
Mm-hmm.
It's just something that, I don't know, I've mentioned it at this point. It's almost to a fault that I'll bring them in and have an excuse to bring them in to a conversation on a Saturday show. Just because I want to.
I remember we talked about him during Bill's training camp.
Yeah.
I remember we did that a couple times.
And to anyone that gets pissed off about it, like, you like what you like. I don't care. But
you got to give both teams their shining star on this.
I want to give this other team some shine.
Mm-hmm.
And they may not deserve it. They may not be capable of it. And even this past off season, I don't know if they did enough and who's going to be the team to fall off for them to steal a spot.
Right.
But that said, Consider how garbage the wild card run was last year. You can't be that bad again, right?
No. No. And I mean, so, you saw, like you said, they were the hottest and coldest team in hockey at the same time last year.
Yes.
They were just up, down, up, down. So if they can actually put some consistent streaks together, they'll be where they were 2 years ago under Granato. I think Lindy might be able to give them that extra push over the line, you know?
Yeah.
I would hope.
And again, that's why they brought him in. That's the other thing, is that there's an interesting feeling because of nostalgia. Nostalgia is a powerful thing with my generation, apparently. Nothing in media is ever original anymore.
No, it is not. Movies, coaching,
yeah,
anything. I mean, they tried it with the Bills all those years ago, didn't they? They brought Marvel.
Toy Story 5. All right. What else do we got?
Cars 4.
Lilo and Stitch again. Like, what?
The Incredibles 3.
HBO's remaking Harry Potter. Like, what are we doing?
Percy Jackson, the series now, not the movies.
Yeah, like that's HBO's making a Harry Potter series. And it's like, can my generation do anything creative that doesn't have nostalgia in it, please?
Reboot.
Yeah,
just reboots. Any reboots.
Anything reboots because you liked it as a kid. Like,
I did like Twisters and Twister, but we're like pulling out.
But it's effectively a reboot.
Yeah, it is.
Come up with something.
Top Gun Maverick.
Yeah.
I mean, I love Top Gun Maverick, though. That was a phenomenal movie.
But that doesn't...
But it's
but a, you brought it up, it's therefore a nostalgia. It's connected.
Mm-hmm.
And so nostalgia is a powerful thing, obviously.
It's right.
It's everywhere in our media, apparently. But was Lindy also the best coach? And the best coach available? And I say yes. The guy won Coach of the Year 2 seasons ago. And really, is Tom Fitzgerald not knowing how to get goaltenders from getting fired last year?
Mm-hmm. And Luukkonen got that contract, so you're hoping he's going to stick around.
And if what we saw yesterday with the prospects is how they want to dictate pace and play,
yeah, aggressive like that,
aggressive and fast,
fast.
That's the thing. They also went and acquired speed, speed. I mean, nasty speed. So if they want to play fast and responsible, not fast and loose. Fast and Loose was 2 seasons ago.
Yeah,
that was fun.
Fast and Loose 2 seasons ago.
Fast and Loose was still fun.
Yeah, it was really fun when
but
you were like...
But give me fast. I like Sonic the Hedgehog. Gotta go fast. Let's go fast.
Mm-hmm.
The Bills go fast.
Yeah, they do. That's what... In the 90s, the K-Gun. No huddle. They didn't stop.
But this version of the Bills.
Yeah.
Joe Brady has them moving around pre-snap. He has a lot of window dressing. He has speed... With some of these players like Samuel, Khalil Shakir is a quick guy. James Cook is fast.
Yeah, and the most of the running back room, even Damian Harris is pretty quick.
And they
quick.
Play with a pace. That's the other thing.
Yeah.
Speed and pace are two different kinds of fast.
Mm-hmm.
They don't go no huddle K-gun.
But they do outpace most NFL offenses.
They keep you going.
Mm-hmm. They outpace the Dolphins' defense.
Or at least it feels like a fast game. Both of these games did not take forever.
No, it seems like they're getting to the line pretty quick. Like, they know what Joe Brady has.
I'm just talking about, like, game time overall.
Yeah. Well, they run the ball a lot more, so the clock doesn't stop on incompletions and things like that.
Yeah, that's also true.
But they barely had the ball, the offense, last game. So, I don't know. That statement isn't true for the last game, but with running the ball more, the game time is going to go down for sure.
Yeah, it is.
So.
It'll be fun. And that's the other thing, is that these things are supposed to be fun.
Yeah. Have a day.
Have a day. Here, that's what the tweet said today. Let's have a day.
Oh, is that what it said?
That's what I typed today. Let's have a day. Let's have a day here. 803-0550 is the number to call if you want to talk about the Bills. If you're at the Sabres Prospect Challenge, anything is on the line here for you guys or girls if you want to call in today because of the fact that, hey, that's kind of what it is this weekend now. The Sabres actually get to take some sort of stage over the weekend with the Prospects Tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Bills are done. For a little bit until
Monday,
next Monday.
The 23rd.
Yeah. Until next Monday.
And that's the night game.
Exactly.
And there's two night games, isn't there? It's like a doubleheader Monday night.
There is a doubleheader Monday night. That's why the Sabres moved their preseason game up to 5 o'clock.
Yes, yes, yes.
So, what do we have from here is it's going to be some fun. It's just, what do we get going from both of these teams, and ultimately the desire to have both of them be good, because I haven't seen that truly in my own eyes either.
That would be something that this city, I think, would explode. If both teams made the play, if the Sabres make the playoffs and the Bills hit an AFC championship this season, and I'm not saying go further because I'm not going to be too optimistic, but
yeah.
If they hit that AFC championship, advance further, and the Sabres make the playoffs, Buffalo sports, we're so back, and the Bandits win another championship, we're so back.
Yeah, there's also the Bandits who...
They're not the worry because they're winning championships.
They win championships.
Even when they were 500 at one point last season, they come back and win a championship.
Exactly. They were playing amongst some of their weakest in-season lacrosse and
made a
stormed
run
through the playoffs.
Yeah.
Embarrassing teams left and right, by the way.
Yeah. Remember that turnaround? They had a bus with the... We talked to John Gertler.
Yeah.
They had a bus with the training staff on it.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like... You know, getting them ready for the game that
patching
night.
Patching them up. Like,
on
right,
a
guys.
Travel day, they were coming back that night to play. Like, yeah. That's crazy. And they still won.
And it's and he also, and Steve Brumell the next, I think it was a couple weeks later, with the championship games.
Yep.
The championship round. He was like, yeah, we're heading out to Albany. And then we ended up on the same bus ride coming back.
Mm-hmm.
So, everything about it, that's what I mean when it's like, when we say the fall is the elite season, it's because everything's back. And
you don't have to sit here and listen to us speculate anymore.
You don't have to. A speculation's not a thing anymore. But yeah. Also, B, you like what you like, and you go and see it.
Different tastes all around.
Different tastes, different styles for different profiles.
Yep.
That's all it is. And that's what fall is all about to me.
Yeah.
Is that you've got everything coming back.
Especially in a city like this.
Also, if you're a huge baseball fan, the Fall Classic is coming in there.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the playoffs going.
Right. You have a couple more weeks
like
of Bison's baseball.
If you like ball, NBA comes back at that time. Like, that's what it is. That's the elite season to me.
Mm-hmm.
Is that everything's there, and you can basically entertain yourself in so many different ways. But damn, I want the Sabres to be more consistent and fun.
Yeah, you want the same feeling with the Sabres as you have with the Bills. That's what you want.
Yes.
And I think I'm in my prediction, which we'll talk about as the season actually gets closer after a couple of preseason games, I think they'll deliver. I think they'll make the playoffs this season.
Yeah. And
I hope in my heart that they make the playoffs this season.
Yeah. It was funny. Like, I went as a fan, and then I started talking shop immediately. Why? I run into Joe Yerden the minute I get to the seventh floor.
Yeah.
Joe is good people. He's great people. And Joe and I immediately start chatting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, hey, how things been? And then next thing you know, we start turning our direction toward the ice.
Well, it's hard not to. I mean, it's staring you right in the face, and they're exciting this season with all the question marks they have. Kind of like the Bills.
And
all those question marks.
Walking around, see Wild Bill Hoppy.
Yeah.
Wild Bill, he's always a good time to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
Chatting with Paul, Rob,
Brayton.
Brian, Brayton, you know, causing all sorts of chaos a little bit yesterday, and all without a press pass. So
yeah, there you go. Yeah.
But it was a good time to see everyone again. That was the other part of it. So
yeah.
So that's probably why I started this band off like that today.
I'm glad I could appear for a cameo. This is fun.
That cameo is there. Get out.
Yeah. Sounds good.
But before we get Josh Reed going and everything else though of the sort, we have a quick chance. Why don't we get connected with our fans? It's brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. And we'll jump into Josh at East Aurora. Josh, welcome to Sports Talk Saturday. How are you?
Hey, I'm great, guys. How are you?
Not too bad. What you got for us?
So I just wanted to talk in and like call about how much fun like the Prospect Challenge was last night. Literally for like a $10 ticket, I got there. And I don't know, 90% capacity, I would say, was pretty filled. And, you know, we were getting the highlight reel goals. The pace of play was crazy. Like that Kulik goal, like everyone got off their feet. And then it was getting chippy and chippy. And then all of a sudden they drop their gloves and the place just goes wild. Like for just the $10 ticket and being in such a, you know, just missing Sabres hockey so much. Like I literally got home and I was so mad tonight's game was sold out. I bought tickets the Monday night. It literally was just, it was just so fun.
Yeah, and Josh, of course, like thanks for the call, first of all. But second of all, yeah, as you said, it was like probably 90% capacity. It was a pretty packed house. And the other part of it is it was an exciting game of kids trying to earn their keep on both sides, on both teams. But Yuri Kulik clearly shows he doesn't need to do this anymore. Ryan Johnson clearly showing he doesn't need to be there anymore. Like those guys were the best players on the ice. And, yeah, there were a couple fights in there. There were a lot of hits. Columbus was throwing the body, and Buffalo did not care. And we'll get a deeper prospects breakdown from Brayton Wilson, who was obviously working the game yesterday. But the other thing is here, Josh, if you're worried about not having tickets or you're missing your hockey jump for today, the Sabres Fan Fest is downtown in Buffalo today. So you can also go down there, get in some fun activities downtown Buffalo for Sabres Fan Fest at the arena for today. All right. So we got the band out of the way. Got our first call of the day. And we turn our attention back to a 2-0 Bills team that it really does look like steady as it goes once again. Rumors of their demise were greatly mistaken. And it's an overreaction. I know that. It's two games. But this is also the Bills. They typically get off to good starts, get a flat tire randomly in the middle of the season, switch it out, and race down to the end of the year. And it looks like if you're able to get these early wins with the schedule, get them. Get the wins that you should get. And Miami is a game, based on the history, you should get. And they got them. And that is the usual thing with the Buffalo Bills. Last year not included, they did lose games that they should have won. But how do you not at least feel good about this team? No Taron Johnson, no Matt Milano, and no Terrell Bernard now. So the depth is going to be tested once again. Earlier this time now. Especially in the middle of the field. But what did they do without all of those pieces? They dominated a team that is supposed to be fast, supposed to be skilled, and supposed to be good. And we'll talk more about that and the state of the Bills going forward throughout the rest of this season. Josh Reed from Channel 4 will join us coming up here on the other side. Derek Kramer, Evans on the board, cameo appearance from Joe Cali. You're listening to Sports Talk Saturday right here on WGR.
Looking over the middle, pressure coming, has to heave it, and it's intercepted. Coming the other way, and going for six is Jamarcus Ingram. A 30-yard interception return for a touchdown. Tua's third pick of the night.
A dominant defense let the offense take a break, especially when Josh Allen was dealing with a hand injury, and the Bills coast 31-10 on Thursday night against the Miami Dolphins. Welcome back, Sports Talk Saturday. Segment number two of this first hour on a lovely Saturday day here. And I don't think there's any better ways to keep going with the Bills here than to catch up with one of the more notable faces of Buffalo media here. He's on Buffalo Kickoff Live for your weekends anytime there's a Bills game, including our own Sal Capaccio. But it's Josh Reed, he of Channel 4 Glory, joining us now on the West Her Hotline. Josh, it's been a minute. It's good to talk to you. Thank you for being able to join us this weekend.
Absolutely. Beautiful weekend. Bills already have the win in their pocket. Now sit back, relax, and watch what the rest of the league does.
I mean, you guys in particular, especially on the beat, getting to kick back this weekend, not have to worry about doing anything. What are those kinds of weekends like for you guys out there when, you know, the season is in full chaos, but you get to take that occasional weekend to just sit back, relax with the family?
Yeah, that doesn't happen. So the Bills are off Sunday. Buffalo Kickoff Live, we know no days off. We're actually still doing a show. In fact, we're going to do the show on Sunday, 11 to noon, live out at the new York Beer Project out there in Orchard Park. So if you're bored and want to hang out and maybe have a frosty cold one and some food, want to chat with all the BKL crew, we're going to be out there hanging out. Like I said, the show's 11 to noon. Or if you prefer to stay at home, turn it on before you settle in and watch all the games around the league.
Especially when, you know, we carry the CBS games, you guys carry them, and it's a perfect little way to lead into it too. So it's perfect. Josh, I'm a fan of being bored and talking to people. Maybe that's not a bad idea. That's kind of the thing.
Come on out. Come on out. We'll be there. Come hang out.
Josh, of course, I'm not here to of course get going with hanging out with you guys just yet. That's tomorrow's business. I'm here to talk to you though about what's been going on the field between the stripes, and this Bills team, I said this on the overtime show, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, but this is the positive side of same old Bills to me with this group of double-digit wins, strong contenders, if not almost write them in for the AFC East. With performances like that, it's almost like a, oh yeah, they're just going to do the same thing that they do. And that, in the regular season, is never a bad thing.
Yeah, I mean, Thursday was Sean McDermott's 75th career win. His winning percentage, I don't know exactly off the top of my head. I tweeted it out, but it is top 20 all-time amongst NFL coaches and is actually tied with Bill Belichick. So, needless to say, he's won plenty of games in the regular season. And of course, the people who dislike Sean McDermott are going, you know, the guy could win every game this season, lose in the Super Bowl, and, you know, they'd have a problem with Sean McDermott, the head coach. But it is what it is. The guy has done nothing but win since he's taken over the reins. Yeah, I mean, look, I've always felt, this is the way I've always felt about it. I always look at it like you're a PGA golfer and you're heading into a Sunday. The whole goal is to get to Sunday and be on the leaderboard and give yourself a shot on Sunday. Hasn't worked out yet, but the Bills have given themselves a shot. They've been on the leaderboard every postseason. They put themselves in a position to get it done. If you do that enough times, if you knock on the door enough times, the likelihood says you'll eventually get through. They just got to keep after it, and we'll see. Maybe they don't get through, but I don't know. As long as 17's the quarterback, I have a feeling that they're going to be knocking on the door a long time. And quite frankly, as long as Sean McDermott's the head coach, they're going to be right in contention every year.
Josh, of course, you mentioned Allen, as long as they have 17. This is the first time in a while, though, that we've seen a dominant Bills performance where Josh Allen didn't have to go fire god mode, or usual Josh Allen, I guess, is the way to say it. National media will sometimes say, like, the full Josh Allen experience, quote-unquote, but that's few and farther in between, and it's just normal Josh Allen. We haven't had to see a lot of that so far in the first two games. Obviously, that first game, they needed him to carry them, but it was very refreshing to see a dominant performance and Allen not have to do everything in order to acquire a dominant performance.
Yeah, I think there's a lot that goes into that. I think there are a lot of layers to the discussion through 2 weeks. One of them is it's only 2 weeks. The second is I think they realize they've got something with James Cook. You know, he had such an underrated performance last year. I mean, he was really good. I believe, checked this a couple months ago, but I believe he finished in the top five in receiving plus rushing yards. So, I mean, he had a really good year. A couple of good weeks, one and week two. I think that another layer to this is Josh Allen's still getting comfortable with all the weapons, and there's a lot of new ones. And he's still trying. They're trying to figure out, I think, how this all works together. And you know what's a great way to be figuring things out? Be 2-0. Be 2-0 and be the team still trying to figure it out. Being 0-2 and trying to figure it out is not the look you want. But they're not. They're 2-0, and I thought this going into the season, and I still firmly believe this. This team will be much better in 2 months than it is right now. That says a lot. They're 2-0, and I believe that they'll be much better in 2 months than they are now. And that's the way you want to trend. You want to trend that way toward the end of the year. And I just think a lot of it has to do with, like I said, all the new faces on offense, you know, now sifting through these huge injuries to the defense. I mean, look, if they can get to December, once again, kind of be on the leaderboard, right, heading into Sunday and get a Matt Milano back and, you know, have Taron back and fully healthy, and if Terrell Bernard can be back and fully healthy by then, suddenly, I mean, like I said, give yourself a shot on Sunday.
And it's a fun thing to think about, too. You mentioning that, you know, they might not even be where they should be, and they're 2-0. There's much worst places to be when you're trying to figure things coaching. Out.
That's coaching to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to me, that's coaching. I mean, if you ask 10, 100, however many people you want to ask, what would they say Tyreek Hill is an elite wide receiver? Right? I mean, I think they would. Right? I think most people believe Tyreek's going to end up with a gold jacket at some point. You know that in the six games, going into this last matchup, Tyreek Hill, since he joined the Miami Dolphins, his average yards per game were 62 against Sean McDermott's defense. 62 yards a game. He had 2 touchdowns in 5 games. That number went down. That number actually went down. Now, Tyreek Hill with the Miami Dolphins has faced Sean McDermott's defenses, Bobby Babbage defense now, however you want to slice that up. And he averages under 60 yards now per game and has 2 touchdowns in 6 games. That is incredible. That is taking an elite wide receiver and finding a way to shut him down. Look, I get it. I know it's not all X's and O's. The Jimmy's and Joe's got to do it too. But a lot of it is coaching those guys up, coaching that secondary up. They're running around out there. Damar Hamlin and Taylor Rapp. And, you know, going into the game, it was, well, they did that to Tyreek Hill, but they did it with Poyer and Hyde in the secondary. That won't happen again. Well, it did. It did. It did. And that's a lot of scheme, and that is a lot of Sean McDermott. That is a big reason this team is 2-0.
And Josh Reed of Channel 4 WIVB here in Buffalo on the Wester Hotline. One of the big things that I took away from that game also on Thursday night is I'm sick of not hearing it from other people that the Bills have the best cornerback depth chart in the National Football League.
Agreed. And especially when, you know, if you're adding the nickel spot in there with Tarrant. I mean, they are really deep. They're really deep. What Rasul Douglas and Christian Benford did to Waddle and Hill was nothing short of impressive. And anymore, it's almost become expected. I think those two guys are the definition. You know, we hear players in the locker room talk about dogs, right? We hear that all the time, right? They just say that soundbite all the time. Those two guys are that definition. Those two guys, you can just tell when Sundays roll around, Thursday in this case, game days roll around, those two guys are the guys you want at cornerback. Because those two guys want to go up against Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. They want it. Like, they don't shy away from that. I mean, it was fun to watch them play against those two elite wide receivers. And, I mean, there was little to no separation. I mean, they blanketed them. And Hamlin and Rapp did a great job, you know, in the back end there. So it was a pretty impressive performance to watch.
It's a fantastic performance. And then, like, later on in the night, I'm starting to think about everything. And I'm like, Kyrie Elam is probably the last corner on their depth chart. And Kyrie Elam has talent. So... Yeah. To think that he's the bottom of the depth chart at cornerback when you have Cam Lewis making plays from the safety or the slot corner position to fill in for Taron Johnson. Taron Johnson's out injured. Jamarcus Ingram has shown up and started making plays. It's just this wonder. And as you said, coaching. Sean McDermott is a defensive back whisperer, and more of the same has been happening here.
You can go back to Levi Wallace. You know, you name it. I mean, they have had cornerbacks come in and come out, and, you know, guys that were nice pieces, but they coached them up, and they became very good cornerbacks. And then, you know, they leave, and we really don't hear from them anymore. They're okay. They're serviceable. Sean McDermott and his staff, it's not just Sean. It's Bobby Babbage. It goes all the way to the, you know, from the top to the bottom. They coach these guys up throughout the week so that, when an injury does pop up, you bring up Cam Lewis as a great example. Jamarcus Ingram is a great example. These guys, when they get pressed into action, they're ready. Like, they don't flinch. And not only, I think one of the important pieces of that puzzle is Cam Lewis, Jamarcus Ingram. These guys, they have been in that system. These guys aren't new.
Cam Lewis, I feel like Cam Lewis has been there for a decade, right? I mean, he's just a guy who goes out, plays a bunch of different spots. He's very versatile. Is he ever going to make an all-pro team? No. But is he going to be, you know, a liability week in and week out, play in and play out? No. He's going to be solid. He's going to do the job. You know that he's going to at least – look, are there physical limitations? Of course. I mean, otherwise he'd be starting in the league somewhere and he would be an all-pro. But that doesn't mean that he doesn't fit in schematically in what Sean wants to do. So Sean, you know, he knows what Cam Lewis is good at. Maybe they have to dial things back a little bit because it's not Taron Johnson, but let's face it, how many Taron Johnsons are in the NFL? Two? Maybe three? I mean, so when Cam Lewis is on the field, man, maybe you have to dial back a little bit, but it's not like you have to throw away the playbook because they know they have faith in Cam Lewis. They have faith in Jamarcus Ingram. Jamarcus Ingram with two picks and a pick six. Like, what an incredible story. And then it just, you know, the microcosm of the whole idea that there are three UB players on that roster right now is just, that's silly. I mean, what a story. And Ingram, John Fuller over at UB tweeted this out. I thought it was pretty cool that Ingram's the first ever former UB player to have two interceptions in an NFL game. I mean, it's just that Cam Lewis had 10 tackles in a game. You know, it's a fun storyline.
It's a fun storyline, and it ultimately speaks to the degree of the development that they're able to put in the defensive side of the ball that it's measurable. It's not like you could say, oh, it's immeasurable. No, it's very measurable. There are statistics to back it up. So, Josh, I wish I could keep waxing poetic with you on this one. Unfortunately, we've got timeline. But do not be worried. I will definitely be reaching out to talk more ball with you as this season goes on. And let the good people know where you're going to be at tomorrow. Where you're going to be at tomorrow for Bills kickoff.
Yeah, once again, so Buffalo Kickoff Live is going to be 11 to noon over at New York Beer Project. It's the new one out in Orchard Park. I haven't been yet, but I heard it's huge. I heard it's really nice. So I'm looking forward to checking it out. But we're going to be doing the show live from out there. It'll also be on TV like it always is, 11 to 11:30 on CW23, and then 11:30 to noon on Channel 4. Of course, we'll be recapping not only the Thursday night game, but just kind of the first 2 weeks, get some of the storylines that have popped up, talking about the injuries, talking about Josh Allen's performances so far, the incredible job that Sean McDermott and Bobby Babich have done with that defense. Yeah, so there's no shortage of topics. Kind of look around the league, too, at what we've seen early on this season. But hopefully we get some Bills fans out there and we can chat it up and hang out a little bit.
And if anyone could tell from these conversations that I have with Josh, you want to talk ball, Josh can talk ball with you until the sun goes down. He's a great guy.
For real. Too much. My wife would say probably a little too much.
Hey, Josh, I always appreciate you, and like I said, I'll be reaching out as the season continues on.
100%, Derek. Take care. Have a good weekend.
You too, Josh. That's Josh Reed of WIVB Channel 4 here in Buffalo, and as mentioned, Buffalo Kickoff Live tomorrow on not only CW23, but also on Channel 4 WIVB here in Western New York. It's always good to talk to Josh. I love talking to Josh. Man, like I said, he'll talk ball until the sun goes down, and even then some, after the sun goes down. My favorite memory with him was Sports Thunder after the Bills beat the Steelers to clinch a playoff spot in 2019. And Josh is up at 3 o'clock, and he's like, hey, you guys, I love your energy right now. You need a guest? I'm like, we'll take one. 3 a.m.? Get in here. So we talked to Josh Reed at 3 a.m. So one of my peak memories with him. One of the best guys in Buffalo media, and a friend of the program, to be sure. All right. We got a schedule to keep up here, Evan. We got to laugh at something going around in sports, and who knows what direction we'll go in here. There's easy decisions, and then there's hard ones. This one might be an easier one for the booty cheek of the week. Coming up next, as Sports Talk Saturday keeps going right here on WGR. Oh, yeah. I don't have time for the nonsense intro booty cheek of the week here. on a Sports Talk Saturday. Brayton Wilson's coming up next. That's why I want to move this one a little quicker than usual. Also because we're late. So partial booty cheek of week to me. Anyway. Honestly, this is probably the easiest one in a while. It's Miami Dolphins fans. Y'all got again by your own blade. You know what you are, Miami Dolphins fans? You're B-Rad G in Malibu's Most Wanted. If this gat is real, then this would really hurt. And you shoot your own foot. And you figure out that it's real. And the reality is, the Dolphins are not better than the Bills. They haven't been better than the Bills. And they will continue to not be better than the Bills. You fools! Keep the bluster going. It makes it funnier every time you step on a rake. All right, I'm done. That's easy. Easiest booty cheek of the week. I might even say booty cheek of the month. Until the next time we play him. Because the next Bills-Dolphins game, I swear, it's gonna happen. And I'm going to resist everything in my blood not to turn into Geary to do this. Credit to Nate, by the way. Keeping receipts and then posting them up. Hilarious stuff. A plus. Mwah, chef's kiss. Brilliant. But the next time the Bills play the Dolphins, I guarantee you, Miami fans are going to be like, oh, we're going to get them this time. No, you're not. You're adorable. All right, Evan, what do you got?
All right, I'll make this real quick because, like I said, the fact that the New York Giants are allowed to wear those jerseys, those should have been buried and burned and never seen from ever again. The performance on the field kind of also made this hit even worse, but
That was the New York Giants out there? I thought that was the Montreal Canadiens, and it was the actual Montreal Canadiens trying to play football.
That's what I was about to say. It literally looks like a poor man's version of a Montreal Canadiens jersey.
It looked like Le Habitant was actually trying to play football. Like the Canadiens roster. They were bad.
If they wanted to celebrate their 100-year anniversary, they should have just stuck with the 80s and 90s Giants helmet look, because that one looked clean. Like when they played the Bills on Sunday Night Football, they wore their throwback helmets and jerseys, and they looked great. Now, they didn't play well, but they looked great. That's all I gotta say. Just the Giants need to just burn those uniforms and never bring them back ever again.
I'm not sure if Joel Armia or Daniel Jones was throwing the football, to be entirely real with you.
We're coming up on a year since the last time he threw a touchdown pass to his team.
they were rough. And that's being nice. I don't know, man. It was bad. I mean, Brendan Gallagher probably would have played better. Honestly. All right, I'm done making my Montreal Canadiens jokes. Maybe I'll ask Brayton to throw one in there. I don't know. But Brayton Wilson, of our membership here and the Odyssey Studios here in Buffalo, typically working with WBEN with the news team there, but still does plenty contribute here with WGR. Joining us next, he was at the Sabres Prospects Challenge yesterday. I caught up with him yesterday, but we're going to talk plenty more coming up next here on Sports Talk Saturday. You're listening to WGR.